Welcome to the Jamoti Podcast. We are all surrounded by amazing coaches and leaders. So let's get an inside look at not just what they do, but how they do what they do. After all, becoming the best versions of ourselves is Jamoti, just a matter of doing it. Coaches, the Jamoti Podcast is powered by Shoot 360. The future of basketball has arrived in Dallas-Fort Worth. Shoot 360 combines the latest sports technology with the fundamentals of basketball skill development. The result is a one-of-a-kind video game-like basketball program designed to improve your shooting, dribbling, and passing. Visit shoot360dfw.com to learn more and register for your free one-hour workout evaluation. Shoot 360, the future of basketball is here. One of my best friends down here, his name's Matt Garnett. I was let him know that I was going to have this talk with you. He got super excited. He's like, man, he's like Ted Lasso. Like, that's how he kind of described. I don't know if you've heard that before or anything, but with your background starting out, especially around a guy like Bobby Knight, which I don't know if I can. When I played, he was at Texas Tech, so I was able to kind of see him on the sidelines a little bit and kind of have a small interaction. But and he might have been different behind the scenes. I don't know. But starting out with that type of influence is the positive side. You've already described a lot of ways, the way that you guys talk to players and how you get onto them and how, you know, but in a positive way. And is that something that's always been you, or is it something that you've had to grow and kind of move into that space?
No, by nature, it's about 180 degrees different than who I am as a person. I was a small, fiery, hothead, confrontational young man. I had anger management issues when I was young, and they took me into my mid-20s, and I even coached like a Coach Knight times 10 as far as confrontation and yelling. And luckily, I coached AAU when I was about 20 years old, and I got the first glimpse of what it did to the people that I was coaching. And I'm still close with those guys now, but they didn't have a memorable experience, and I didn't have a memorable experience. So I just realized early on that that wasn't me. And then as I evolved into coaching and really watched how players responded to the guys I was working for and working with, I just decided that this fits me a lot better, especially, I'm a small guy. Now I am confrontational. I am very direct. If we have an issue, then we're going to be talking about it within 2 minutes. It's not going to linger. I'm not afraid of confrontation. Just my confrontations are a lot different than they used to be. It's more of, this is what I see. I feel like this is how it's affecting those around you. And it needs to be changed immediately versus yelling and raising my voice. And it typically now, if I have to raise my voice, it just tells our players that this is something that's really, really irritating, coach, or something that just he's not going to stand for, something that's very important. Yesterday, for example, in workouts, we had made about 1,000 mistakes, and we try to, learn from our mistakes in practice. And there was one play where just two guys simply just quit playing because of the mistake. And the whole gym, everyone got on them, the players, the managers, the coaches. And I stopped and I said, we've all made a lot of mistakes today. That's the first mistake that anyone, raised their voice. Why do you think that is? And they paused for a second and didn't have the answer. I asked one of the managers, I said, why do you think everyone in the gym just got angry? And they said, because they quit on the play. And I said, exactly. So that tells you the order of the highest order of business in our program. It's the effort. It's the being a great teammate. It's all those things much more than making or missing a shot or turn the ball over. We're going to learn through those things, but we don't ever, we can't ever condone quitting on a play or quitting on your teammates. So I think by us raising our voices, very rarely it shows a high level of importance and urgency for whatever just happened.
No doubt, because the players, if you're just yelling about everything, they're going to tune you out real quick, and they're going to start to feel like nothing is really important to you. If everything makes you angry, then what do I do? It's like a no-win situation as a player. I think it, maybe it's changing now, but positivity and having that kind of be your mantra, it's not weak. It doesn't mean weak, and it doesn't mean passive. I think it's hard to do. Like, you got to be mentally tough when those moments that just grinded that 20-year-old self that you were, that comes up, because I was a very similar way. And I played for a guy that was basically Bobby Knight's disciple and Dave Bliss. Very similar. So that's how I played, or that's what I like to play for. So I wanted to emulate that. And then you're right. One of the questions I try to bring up to myself, and I think it's good for a coach to ask, is would you want to play for a coach like you? And I think deep down, if I'm honest, 10 years ago, heck no, I don't want to play for that guy.
There's definitely been times in my career when I wouldn't want my sons to play for me. Now I do. I would, and I tell people this to the guys I work for. That's what I used to tell in recruiting. My greatest compliment is that I would send my sons to play for the guy that I was working for. Hmm. And hopefully, I know now, based on who I try to be, I would send my sons to play for me. And hopefully my assistants would say that to the players they're recruiting, that the best compliment you can give someone is you would hire them, or you'd send your sons to play for them, or something along those lines. So absolutely. And I'm with you. I don't think I would have earlier in my career, but I think I would have. But I'm with you. I enjoyed being coached like that. It made me tough and competitive, and it made us close as play. It made our group close as players. But I do think times have changed, and it's just such a different era and culture now. And I've spent a lot of time thinking about why it's different. And I do believe that the military back then, a lot of the men had some form of military in their background. And that's the way that the men in military communicated and intimidated and forced, because it's life or death. And what we're doing is not life or death. It's simply trying to be a little bit better than you were the last possession or the last practice or the last game. So, it's just two different worlds, where when you're talking about something that's that intense versus something that requires great intensity, but it's not really life or death.
That's right. Just because you and I enjoy playing, we're probably lucky because of how we were raised. You know, I came from a disciplined home. So when I went to a very disciplined and in that kind of way, disciplined program, I was okay with it. But I'm sure you could think of a few teammates that you had that were talented and could have helped us win, but they couldn't handle that. And so, like, again, it's not something where, oh yeah, back in the day, this is just how we all, no, there were kids that didn't respond to it then. How much better could it have been for them if they were playing in an environment kind of like you created?
No question. And to be honest, I my mother raised me, and she worked all the time and went to night school. So I essentially was raised by the neighborhood kids and babysitters and whatnot. And so I didn't have that discipline, but I embraced it because I wanted to be like my coaches. So as soon as I got deep into basketball, my coaches were my role models. They were my heroes. So I embraced it because I wanted, whatever they said to me was gospel. There was never any, unless they called me selfish or they called me soft, then I took it really, really personal. Otherwise, because I took pride in being unselfish and being tough. So yeah. Anything else I embraced and really bought into what they're saying, because that's who I admired.
But that's a great nugget there too. Like make sure that we never underestimate the role that we play in our players' lives. We might not even realize it at the time, just how big of a part of their forming and shaping them we really play. And to, man, not take that for granted, right?
No question. 100%. Assistant coaches, support staffers, head coaches, we all have an impact. And when you're intentional about pouring into your players every single day, it's amazing how much they can grow over 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, which is when we're fortunate that we have guys with us for 5 years.
Thank you for checking out today's episode. Please take a moment to subscribe to this podcast, share it with your fellow coaches, and find us on social media for what's coming up next on the Jamoti Podcast. It's just a matter of doing it.